and I mean, I shined and everything, and they hired me. Woo! And you're thinking you're walking into this fine establishment who's just now graced with your presence now. And you walk in there, and it's the most backwards, crazy place you've ever been in your life. I mean, no regulation, no rules, no order, no nothing at all. Anybody been in that position before? I have. That's why I'm talking about it. And then all of a sudden, it's like sometimes things, you know, that are on the label doesn't really match with the substance of what it really is. The label says it's calorie free. The label says it's this, but in actuality, it's something completely, completely different. What we want and what we strive for and what we desire in our relationships, in our encounters, in our interactions, we want truth, right? We even want truth when it's wrong. I mean, when I go to the doctor, when it's bad, rather, when I go to the doctor, I don't want the doctor to appease me. I don't want the doctor to just tell me what's nice and all that. I want the doctor to tell me the truth, even if it's the hard truth. Amen? I want the doctor to say, look, this is what we see on the chart, and if you don't fix this, this is exactly what's going to happen, because we've seen that over and over again. I don't need the doctor to say, it's going to be okay. Look at this. You know what? It's all right, baby. Just keep on. No. Time to get a new doctor. I need truth. All of us want truth. But only to a certain point sometimes. Only to a certain point sometimes. And we'll talk about that a little bit. God's word has a lot to say about truth. Why? I mean, it's our source of truth. The Bible has a lot to say. Jesus says, look, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus isn't saying I just speak words of truth. Jesus isn't just saying I'm around truth or I'm just a dispenser of truth. Jesus is saying I am the embodiment. I am truth. I am truth. If you need to see and contrast something against me, you'll always find me to be true and everything else to be what? A liar. God is true. Every man else is a liar. Anything that contradicts and goes against what God is and who God is and what God says is false, because God is true. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so what we want to do is we want to be those that embrace truth. We want to be those that desire to know truth. We want to be those that even when the truth hurts, we want to hear it. Because we know there's freedom only in truth. Let's look at the nature of truth, first of all. At its core, the nature of truth is what is in reality, what is real. Right, there are some people, and this isn't to be funny or anything like that. There are some people that live outside of reality, right? And when I mean seriously, and when we see somebody who lives outside of reality, we put labels on them. I don't have to say them from the pulpit. You already know them in your head. We put labels on that, right? But then, in a sense, sometimes ourselves, there are areas in our lives where we need to look at a belief pattern, a way of thinking, a way of acting that we do, and we need to measure it by something. See, right now, I can say, look, this pulpit, I believe it's probably about, let's say, 3 feet long. And then another brother Booker goes, well, you know what, it's actually about 2.5. And then Brother Kirkland says, you know what, that's actually 4 feet. And then all of us, we have differing opinions on this pulpit, but here's an easy way to figure it all out. Get a ruler and measure it, right? And the ruler that now measures it, now when we find out that it's 3¾ inch or whatever it is, that I'm wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, the measure, the standard is right. And I think oftentimes what we do is we operate truth, what we call truth is really our belief, the gut, our instinct, our the things that we've gone through, our experiences in life that have told us that this is more than likely this than that. That still doesn't make it truth. My experiences growing up doesn't make it truth. My religious affiliations and background doesn't make it truth. The fact that I heard this all my life doesn't make it truth. Truth is set, there's a standard of truth. And we measure truth and measure our truth by the truth, by the standard, which is God's word. Truth corresponds to reality. Jesus says, your word is truth, or the word is truth in John 17, 17. All scripture reveals this truth, and truth matters because, why does it matter? Because it helps us to think right, speak right, live right, act right. It's our anchor in deception. You know, if think about Jesus. After Jesus was baptized, where did he go? Where did he directly go? Where? Into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, what did the devil tempted him with? Things that would satisfy the flesh, and Jesus fought back with what? The scripture, the word. The devil came with lies. Jesus combated and overcame him with truth. Truth. And that's what the enemy is going to do to us often. That's what he does, not just to those that have not come to Christ, but even to those that are already in Christ. He desires to get into our minds and to twist things up and to change what says the Lord and to add to what God has said or to take away from what God has said. That's what he desires to do. He desires to get into the kitchen and mess things up and take everything that is in order and put it out of order, and it's up to us to say, man, I want the truth. I don't want chaos. I want to know truth. Solomon wrote this about truth. It was so important. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, when you get that truth, you hold on to it and you don't give it away. And when he's saying give it away, he's not talking about sharing it with others. You don't let it go. You don't let it go. You don't let go of the truth and the standards that God has within us. Those are anchors to our soul. Those are the very things that keep us footed and standing when the storms of life begin to beat upon us. Those are the very principles that are going to hold us. Truth. The devil will come and he'll look at Job. What kept him anchored? The truth he knew about God, not the circumstances that he was enduring. The circumstances actually say, man, God must be mad with you, because that's what his friends were reading. God must be mad with you. That's what the circumstances would say. He didn't look at the clouds. He didn't look at the wind, and he didn't look at how things went. No, he looked at God. He looked beyond his circumstances and what was visible to the invisible. He looked beyond what he could see, and he stepped into that area of faith where you cannot see, where all you have to do is depend and trust on God. That's what Job did. Why? Because it was based in truth, and everything else around in the world that he was looking at, listen, was false. There were lies. His friends telling him lies. Even his own wife, lies. The circumstances around, lies. He couldn't even make sense of it all. And you know what we do when we can't make sense? We'll start trying to figure out what it is. What does it mean? What is God trying to say? What happened? How did it happen? What did I do? What could I have done differently? We start asking all those different questions, and oftentimes the very answers that we get are lies. I'm going further than I even thought I was going in this lesson, but I guess God wants me there. We need to desire to want the truth on all things. Look at what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? See, these are the obstacles toward us coming to truth. First of all, is our sinful hearts. Our sinful hearts. And oftentimes, I'll throw this big sin out there that sometimes we don't really talk about a lot. It's called pride. Pride really comes in and says, I got it. I'm enough. I'm smart enough. Sometimes, Lord, I done figured you out. I figured you out, Lord. You know, there are some people who take the word of God, and they take the word as if it's you ever seen this, the movie Da Vinci Code? They take it as if it's Da Vinci Code, and we're just looking for the deepest meanings in here, and we're trying to find and discover the things that no one else can see. God didn't write a Bible so that no one can figure out what's in this. He's given us a manual by which we're to live our lives, by which we're to structure and order our lives, by which we're to build our lives. And so he wants us to plainly understand how to do so. So he's given us to us. And matter of fact, I'm going to just tell you the truth. The principles of the Bible really are not that hard. I'm gonna give away a good old preaching secret. It ain't too many subjects I can get up here and preach about. We all hearing the same stuff over and over again. I just try to fluff it up and give it a new name and let's do scripture. But guess what? Let's just really think of this truthfully. The basics of Christianity are pretty simple to understand. The hard part comes in the application. That's the most challenging part, the application. Right? So our focus is first, Lord, I want to know. But the knowing, we don't have to go way so deep. Jesus boiled down the whole Christianity into a few commands. Love God, right? With all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And do what? And love your neighbor as yourself. So, I mean, in a nutshell, if you want to just kind of boil it down, well, I know there's more than that. I know that all the details and all that, but if we want to boil it down, the principles are not that hard to understand. We just got to first want to understand it, and then probably the hardest part, want to do it, want to apply it, and apply it over and over and over again. All right, I got so much more, and I haven't even gotten to. So let me keep it moving. But we have a natural tendency to go away from the things of God. That's one of the very barriers from our truth. Secondly, obviously, is this world around us, the influence of the world around us, peer pressure. We talk to our kids about it quite often. You have the world that's trying to tell you through this media, through online, through TV, through teachers even, through, you know, all these different resources that are out there, sometimes that are going directly contrary to the will of God. And listen, while we're here, this emphasizes the importance of parents in your home teaching children, because somehow we have to combat all the different voices that are coming from all these different places. And if we're saying, look, I need my kids to know what the standard is, what the rule is, what the correct measure is, then that means we gotta tell them, because the other voices aren't. They're gonna tell it to them wrong. So we have to tell them. We have to share with them. We have to, how do I put this? Get them to church. One of the Brother Newton always jokes about the fact that he was drugged in church. He was drugged in the morning, drugged at night, drugged in the church on Wednesday, drugged at youth meetings. He was drugged to church, right? But that was his development. That's what helped him to get the word in him. And it seems like today's modern parents just say to their kids, hey, go right ahead. And if you want to stay home, just stay home. If you don't want to go, and whatever your will tells you to do, you go right ahead and do it. Sounds like another sermon for another day, don't it? All right. We want to know truth. We want to teach truth. We want to give truth. And we understand the barriers around. And I'm going to get ready to close this up because I got much more than I can preach today. We have to get to this point of embracing truth. Lord, I want to know. Lord, I want to know. I was thinking about Jethro and Moses. And Moses, if you remember, was having a hard time leading because he was putting so much on his shoulders. And finally, his father-in-law, Jethro, said, look, what you're doing ain't right. Right? And this is his father-in-law. All right? Father-in-law. Not even father. Father-in-law. All right? And I'm thinking of the humility that Moses had to have had to receive this truth. Right? I mean, put yourself in that position for a moment. Because sometimes when you get to those elevated positions and those elevated places, sometimes the voices we hear are less and less. All right? Less people, people are even afraid to give you advice because of where you are. But Jethro comes and he shares with him this message, and we see that Moses receives it, implements it, and the blessing that his message was, look, you can't do this all alone. Get yourself some good faithful men, appoint them to be judges, things of that nature, spread out the work, delegate, et cetera, et cetera. Moses did it. It worked out great for the people. It worked out really good for him too. Amen. But it took humility. Sometimes it takes, I'm closing up here, it takes a heart, the right heart, saying, look, I may not have heard it done that way before, may not have seen it done that way before, you know, but I see what this is, and this is true. This is true. And I want to embrace truth, and I want to live in this truth. And I'll tell you, first and foremost, that's my story. That's my Christian story. I'm going to tell you that. That's my Christian story. I remember a time going to church, and I was just going to church. I was just getting up, going to church, and because my parents went to church. My father was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. We had to go to church. We were drugged to church, okay? But then my parents divorced, and for a time, we were out of everything. We were out of fellowship. We were out of contact, connection, everything like that. Then it came to a point where I decided I wanted to go back to church. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was weird. It was scary. It was confusing. I knew about God. I knew about the Bible. I didn't really know God. I didn't really know about the Bible. But I knew I wanted to know God. I mean, I knew enough about God to know He exists. I believe the Bible. I believe the stories. I had Sunday school. We had the foundation and all of that, but He wasn't really real in my life. I didn't prioritize God. I didn't put Him first and all that, those type of things. I was just living. I was just living life, living for the moment. You know, went into the military, all those type of things. Got back out, and I'm just living life. And I'm not truly saying life was so good when I was living. I'm gonna just tell you right now. It had his ups, it had his downs. I was beat up. The Lord took me, smacked me upside down. I got kicked out the Navy. I came back here. I was in a horrible relationship. I became a single father. I was raising my son. That was part of my road back, though, becoming a single father, having to have that responsibility. But nevertheless, it was tough. Money was funny, always funny. Ooh, money was always funny. Yeah. And so all of that was my story, but religiously I was confused. But I was searching. I was seeking. I'm looking for answers. One thing about me, if you give me a problem and say, brother, we need an answer about this, I'm gonna do my best to find you an answer. I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna look under this and under here and over there and ask this one and ask that one. We're gonna find an answer. But that's how I was with the Word of God. And when I recognized that I was confused, I needed some answers. But I'm going to tell you right now, my answer didn't come from within. It came from Him, right? One day I'm on my job, and there's this guy talking something religious. I used to listen to a radio program every night. Y'all already know the program, Family Radio Stations. I used to listen to that every night, question and answer Bible study. And so I was seeking. I was trying to find out more and more and more. And then one day I'm hearing something that the guy on the radio program said. I'm hearing something that I believe is written in the Bible. I'm hearing something, and then I hear this other man say it in my presence. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. What? I think it was tongues that we were talking about, and I see most of the other people who talk about it like this, but I believe the Bible, it's a language, and so we started talking about that, and I said, what church you are you with? He said, the Church of Christ. Why don't you come on out and visit with us? And I did. After about 5-6 months later, I did. Yeah. But listen, this is important. He planted the seed. And when there was stuff going back at the Baptist church that I was at, that I was on the choir, and they had me like wrapped in, every time there was an issue, there was a seed that was already planted. Man, go check out that church. They seem like they're about the Bible, and I'm about the Bible. So finally, I went to the church, and the preacher was there preaching, and I know I'm going long, but I'm going to finish this story. The preacher that was normally there, he was on vacation somewhere. They had a guest preacher, but whoever the guest preacher was, Larry Frazier was up there, and if you know Larry Frazier, Larry Frazier going to preach the gospel, all right? And he preached that gospel, and it's the first gospel sermon I ever heard, and I'm like, this sound right. And then I went back to my church, the church I was at. And then I went over there, still in confusion, still sitting in that pew, still reading the Bible, and then the preacher preaching something that I can't even understand what he's reading from that Bible, and I'm still sitting there and going, man, something's missing. Something's missing. And finally, I just said, you know what, let me get out of here. Lord orchestrated it in such a way that I could get out without hurting too many relationships here, because that was what was bothering me. That was my holdback. That was something that was holding me back. How am I going to tell these guys here I'm leaving, you know, and all that? So God orchestrated in such a way that allowed me to do so. And I came into the body. I studied with the preacher, baptized like 4 weeks later, and here I am ever since. Amen. Praise God. Y'all can applaud that, because I'm applauding. Y'all don't want to say nothing. I will. But here, why did I tell that whole long story? I know, I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you. I didn't forget why. Sometimes I forget the reason I got into a story. Not today. I wanted truth. And when I encountered it, I said, Lord, the truth, take me and do with me what you will. Truth. The truth will form you, it'll change you, it will convict you, it'll confront you, but it is needed. Jesus said that by this you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set or make you free. The truth, in truth, is freedom. So I want to know the truth, listen, about God. I want to know the truth about God's word. I'm going to go a step further. I want to know the truth about me. Oh, that's a harder one sometimes. The truth about me. Lord told us that we're like in John 15, we're the branches that are attached to the vine. The vine that is detached from him, we can do what? We can do nothing. But attached to him, we can do all things. And so what we want to do is be attached to the vine, attached to the truth of God's word. We want to continually be attached to the source that gives truth, that gives life, that gives this freedom. And brothers and sisters, someone today in here this morning, has not yet embraced and obeyed the truth. Listen, truth does not bless or benefit you. Truth is you know, let me say it like this. There were some people, remember, in slavery, and once there was this emancipation proclamation that went out, and it was telling people, the slaves, you are now free. But there were some slave owners who didn't want that message to get out. They didn't want people to hear the fact that they were true in their, because of the fact that, you know, this proclamation was now declared, now all of a sudden, you're free. But you got to hear you're free, you got to know you're free, and then you got to start living in that freedom. Brothers and sisters, you right now, we got this great penalty called sin that has come in and marred our lives and pushed us away from a God that loves you, a God that desires to have you in his presence forevermore. This sin has come in and put a wedge between us and God. And so that's a problem, first of all. A problem is because all of us have that issue. Romans 3 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we're also told that the wages of this sin, it gets to the point that, man, you keep accumulating this sin, this debt of sin, this debt of sin. And at some point, it pays out. But this payout isn't that good. It pays out in death. The wages of sin is death. But, luckily, there wasn't a period there. The gift of God surpasses all understanding. Comes to us through a person named Jesus Christ. What he did on that cross was take the penalty, those debts that were accumulating on our behalf, and he took those things and said, you know what? Come here. Give me that debt. All right, give me his debt. Give me her debt. I'm going to take all of those with me to the cross. And there was a song we were singing here. That was a beautiful song, the communion song. And in this, I don't remember what the song was, but the lyric that said that something about the scoffers. I heard the scoffer's voice, and it was mine. That hit me. You don't deserve it, but because of what he did on the cross, he paid the penalty for me, and you put your name in there. He paid it for you. I think that was the name of the song. That's how deep God's love is. That's how deep God's love is. All right, I can preach all day. I'm gonna sit down, but maybe there's someone here this morning that you are ready. You're ready to wrap yourself in the truth. Wrap yourself in the Lord. Lord, Jesus came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved and he gave. He loved and he gave. He's giving. The gift is out, extended. Will you receive it? Will you take it? Will you come? If you're ready to come this morning, why don't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.